Hallelujah. Listen, God brings us through storms, doesn't he?
Amen.
How many of you know you ain't going to enter a storm? I mean, we're in a storm constantly, isn't it? Well, we just had a couple storms. You know, the Lord is so cool because people don't realize that storms actually prepare you for storms.
Amen.
As long as you don't get caught up in the storm, you go through the storm. People have gathered many things because we had hurricanes and so forth. But God is preparing us. It's amazing how people can come into unity when a storm comes.
Amen.
And how many people try to outrun the storm. Amen. But if you're truly in Christ, you're walking in faith, you are protected from every storm, even though you're going through a storm. Amen.
Amen.
And in that protection in the storm, God does multiple things with us. He wants to know whether we're going to run to him or run from him.
Amen.
And every storm that comes across our path, there's that tendency to want to run. And that's the difference between those who run and those who fight. And it's not fighting for your life. See, people think that the fight is for your life. It's not for your life. It's for his life. The reason why we fight to stay alive is to maintain his life here to be expressed. If you're still fighting for you to stay alive, then you're fighting for the wrong thing. Does everybody understand that? Remember, the day that you gave your life to Christ, that was it. You no longer have a life. I don't have a life. You don't have a life. It's when we take our lives back that struggles come and all kinds of things come. We do not have a life. We have his life. Why? Because we're eternal now. We're eternal. And it's when we begin to think temporarily and carnally. Because see, the word even says that the carnal mind can't understand the things of God. And it never will. So when we're in the natural realm, we're in the carnal arena of the old man and the character of the old nature, it cannot comprehend the things. It only knows fear and run. It knows what? Fear and run. That's all it knows. Or the only other thing is, and in that fear, it wants to fight for itself instead of surrender. Listen, we are in tremendous times. People have no idea what's getting ready to happen. People are still caught up in their lives. They're trying to build their lives. It's not about building our life. It's about building his kingdom.
Amen.
Those are kingdom builders. Amen? It's when we start building our kingdom that we have problems. Because when we start building our kingdom, we begin to invite other things into our kingdom. In fact, a lot of the old things come back that were a part of our kingdom before. And then this devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Many times it's difficult to let go. You know, I mean, that's a reality everyone faces. Listen, nobody's perfect. You're not going to find the perfect pastor. You're not going to find the perfect person. And you're not going to find the perfect place, the perfect job. Nothing's going to be perfect. And when you thought it was perfect, you're going to find out it wasn't. Because we live in an imperfect world. And the only one that's perfect is Jesus. And the only time you're going to get perfected is when you go home. So everybody's growing. And while you're growing, you're going to be groaning. People don't like to be corrected. People don't like to be chastened. People don't like to be wrong. Well, there's only one right, so we're all wrong anyways. That's where you keep your eyes and your mind on Christ. None of us is right. There's only one right. Every one of us is going to make a mistake. You're going to say something you regretted. You're going to do something you regretted. Welcome to the earth. But God always makes a way out. He makes a way out with his arms wide open saying, I love you.
Amen.
Even when you're an idiot.
Amen.
Does everybody get that? I love you. Even when somebody else doesn't love you. I love you. But when he brings us in, he says, okay, now, are you ready to learn more? Or do you want to go through that again? And that's where we got to maintain that hunger to want to know more of him. And the word says, be ready in season and out. I think being ready in season and out is dying. Be ready to die in season and out. To what? Yourself. Yourself. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? 1 Corinthians 13. You know, the word says that there are those who are called, those who are faithful. I mean, those who are chosen and those who are faithful. Those are three areas that God brings us through in training. You're called to be trained. Amen. You're chosen to fulfill the calling. And now there's a place of becoming faithful. Again, that means consistent. That means accountable. That means responsible. That means being trustworthy. And God is looking for the faithful. He's trying to raise up. He knows that people are come from called and chosen, but he's trying to raise up the faithful. The faithful. Those that are immovable, that don't change, that don't allow circumstances to change them. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a what? Child. I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And this is powerful because he said, look at, what is a child? One of the things about a child is lack. A child lacks. What's it lack? It lacks the understanding. Amen? That's called immaturity. Now, as God is maturing us in certain areas, it's because there's areas that we lack in. So he's trying to bring us from a child arena of attitude, motive, desires, to a mature, where we become stable, steadfast, and immovable, called faithful. So he says, look, when I was a child, immature, a teenager, you know how teenagers are sometimes? You know, we have adult teenagers. 30, 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old teenagers. Some of us will never grow up. I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. I'll have childlike faith. But one of the things is there's a difference between what you are in the physical and what you are in the spiritual. Amen? Because a child is, one of the things about a child is all trusting. Doesn't hold things. A child doesn't hold things. Willing to forgive quickly, you know? And wants to learn. It's always, did you ever notice how children go, well, why? 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 They're always wanting to learn. And that's how you and I are to be in the arena of the Spirit. We want to be willing to learn all the time, but we're willing to be corrected. And when we're corrected, we forgive quickly. Okay, that's it. Cool. Thank you, got it. Could have stepped on that nail right there. Could have done this, could have done that. See, but when we're immature in arena, we think as a child. A child always thinks about himself. Amen? I mean, get around a child. It's me, 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 and me. He speaks about himself. He thinks about himself. He speaks about himself. And the only thing he understands is himself. Because he can't understand anything else. It's too distant from a child. It's me, only me, and always me. That's childlike. Has everybody got that? Me, only me, and always me. That's what a child is like. But when a man or a woman begins to put away those things, that's a putting away the life of emotional living. Because the child is always looking to what it feels like. Everything is about a feel. Feel, 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 feel. A sucker will make them feel really good. Ice cream makes them feel real good. A toy, when you buy a toy, it makes them feel real good. But the problem is it's temporary. Because all of those things are according to the carnal arena, not the arena of the spirit. So there's an area where a person cannot be satisfied. It's always looking for things to purchase, always things to buy, always things for looking for fulfillment in all the physical arenas. Looking for people to fulfill them, looking for everything to fulfill them because they're still that immature state of being, childlike. And he says, it's time to put those away so that we can become more mature, steadfast, immovable. How many of y'all know that when you become in that arena, God can trust you? People are still wanting God to move on their behalf when he can't trust them. There's a limitation, only he can trust them. He said, you can do this. When you do that for a little while, let me see how you're doing. And they're crying out to God, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. And he said, I ain't doing that. You earn my trust. Is everybody okay? Okay. And verse 12. He said, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known. Known by who? By God. Does everybody get it? Known by him. How does He see you. This is what we look at. How does the Lord see me? Does he see me as steadfast? Does he see me as stable? Or does he see me as double-minded? Does he see me as unstable? Does he see me as immature? Now, immature is no problem because he's trying to mature me. I may be mature in one area, but immature in another. Amen? It doesn't make us bad. What he's looking for is so that you and I constantly do a self-examination to see where we are. Look, you can't find out where you're deceived. Somebody's going to have to tell you. Now, you may have a misunderstanding of something, but you don't know when you're deceived. That's why it's called deception. Amen? So you'll fight for, every one of us has believed in something and was almost willing to give up everything for it and then realize, oh my God, I was wrong. For some of us, it was too late, and we're paying a price for it today. For some of us, we learned from it and moved on. Amen? So God is trying to bring us, he's trying to bring us like-minded. Why? So we see what he sees. So we hear what he hears. So we have the heart according to his will and not our own. How many of y'all know your desires can speak louder than the voice of God? It's an emotion, isn't it? Man, you can have a desire where you can even dream about it. And then you'll come out and you'll wake up and go, oh, there was confirmation. No, it wasn't. It was deception. Hello? God gives confirmation through multiple arenas. And he always gives it through offices also. Far be it, somebody will come for office and get counsel on it because they know it's not right. So they just do it on themselves and they assume. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to give you a title in a minute. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Is everybody there? James chapter 1 and verse 2. Let's speak it, please. My brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Listen. You're not going to get hit by a car and be laying there going, all right. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, just count it as joy. In other words, set your mind in everything that's going on. Remember where you came from. Never lose sight of where you came from. This joy is an attitude set. Has everybody got it? It's an attitude. And that attitude is an attitude of grateful. I'm grateful, Lord. I'm grateful. I'm not grateful I got hit by that car, but I'm grateful that by your stripes I can be healed. I'm grateful that I didn't die. I'm grateful that I'm still here, that I can still fulfill what you want me to do. And what is it you want me to fulfill? What am I supposed to learn out of this incident? I'm grateful. Even when we make a mistake, Lord, I made a mistake. I blew it. I was a bonehead. I said something I did. I shouldn't have moved. I assumed something, whatever it was. Lord, okay, I want to thank you. You know, one of the arenas of victory is recognize. Amen. That's one of the things God is always trying to get to me and you, is to be able to recognize. Why? So victory cannot be established without first recognizing what's going on. And when you recognize it, you're going to get understanding by the Spirit of God, so that you can have victory. So he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Not if, when. Your trials are for training. Every one of us goes through it. In fact, sometimes daily. And what trial you didn't complete yesterday is waiting for you today. And some of the ripple effects of some of our trials are still there to do what? Train us. Why? He's trying to get us to a place where we see the way he sees, hears the way he hears, so that we are unmovable, steadfast, and stable, so he can trust me and you to give us more. Remember, he's for us, not against us. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing, everyone say testing. Testing. Everyone say, I'm a tested citizen.
I'm a tested citizen.
To the kingdom of God.
God.
Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Or endurance. Remember, faith is spiritual sight. It's what you see. Why? So that you can endure. If you can't see, can you endure? No. But let patience have its perfect work so that you are able to endure. Endure what? Storms. trials, tribulations, rejections, mistakes, failures, so you can endure these and maintain the character of Christ. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and what? Complete. And lacking nothing. In other words, you come to a mindset that you're complete in Him, not in you. And that He is able to do far above all you could ever ask or think. And that you won't lack anything. And what you might not have now, it is coming. Amen. It's coming. If any of you lacks wisdom, wisdom tells you what to do. Amen? Wisdom tells you what to do. Understanding tells you how to do it. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Did you ask for wisdom today? You need to ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So it produces discernment. Remember, everything is to produce discernment. Why? So you can discern and see. And let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And let not that person suppose that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because he's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Double-minded, double-minded, unstable, double-minded, childish. Amen? Childish. A child changes its mind all the time. Last week they liked that orange sucker. Today they can't stand it. They want one, a purple one or whatever. Double-minded. One day they believe something, the next day they don't. One day they're with you, the next day they're against you. Unstable, double-minded. It's childish. They live a life of emotion, not out of truth, because they can't grasp hold of it. Amen? He said, look, you're going to need wisdom. You're going to need understanding, which will produce discernment. Remember, God is looking to raise up individuals that see the way He sees. Why? So we can express His character. Living in a life always of an attitude of gratefulness. Why? So that all trials will be joy. In Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. If God be for us, who can be against us? Do you believe it? Glory, glory, and hallelujah. In verse 13, Matthew 7, 13. Let's speak it, please. Enter by the what?
Narrow gate.
For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. That's a remarkable statement by Jesus. He said, beware of what? False prophets, which will mislead people, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from the thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears my sayings and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock or the anointing. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not put them to practice will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Great was its fall. In other words, shame. It brought shame. It's something very important. He said that that pathway is narrow and difficult. It's called the path of conviction. See, there's two paths that you and I are going to walk. It's either the path of conviction or the path of convenience. Two paths. There's the path of conviction and there's the path of convenience. The conviction, what does conviction do? It causes me and you to turn, doesn't it? It causes me and you to repent when we know something's not correct, or not just that it's not correct. See, we got to stop looking at whether it's sin or not, or whether it's right or wrong or not. We have to look at it whether it pleases him or not. So you're going to bypass all of this foolishness of carnality where the world can only say, this is sin. This is wrong. That's not relationship. Relationship is the arena where it says whether it pleases him or not. I am convicted not because of the sin, not because of the wrong, not because of anything else, but because it did not please him. So that's relationship. That's what God is trying to bring me and you to a closeness to him. Well, it's not about sin anymore. It's not about right or wrong anymore. It's about whether you're pleasing him or not. And if you'll maintain that arena, we become mature quicker. We begin to earn his trust more. He begins to release more. See, you can fight for all you want. You can pray for all you want. And you can ask for all you want. And you can get it. But it'll be stolen. It'll actually be some of us to our destruction. Because he will give. But see, because the lack of being close to him is not an asking arena of pleasing him. It's an asking arena of pleasing self. Does everybody get that? Lord, I want this to please me. And then many times when it moves us out of God's timing, because he will even release it to us, but he knows that we're going to have to go through what it takes. Is everybody okay? So there's a path of conviction, and that path of conviction is an area where we are convicted not because of sin or wrongdoing or anything else, but because we know that we're close enough to him knowing that it displeases him. And when you ignore that, you go to the path of convenience. And let me tell you, you don't gain his trust. It begins to diminish until we get back to that place. And let me tell you, it says we get tested all over again. He wants to really know whether you're going to live by an emotional life or a life of truth. And that truth is with the relationship of the person of truth. So be a path of conviction which says, I didn't please you. And I'm going to turn from that. The world will approve of it. Amen. The world approves all the things. It approves of people going to the bar. It approves of people smoking. It approves of people dipping. It approves of people in pornography. It approves of all of these things. But if you're really close to the Lord, you will be convicted because what you're doing is displeasing him. And if you're willing to, if you're going to ignore that, you'll go on the path of convenience and not the path of conviction. Amen? That's where God wants to get us to a place to use us. And it's not using us to flow through us. But the path of convenience wants to use God. Amen. The path of conviction wants to be used by God. Amen. Two different things. In Hebrews chapter 4. Is everybody okay? Amen. Glory. And you know what? You're going to tell this by fruit of individuals. Look, there are many false prophets. There are many false counterfeiters. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Politically, in the body, all over. But we must get the wisdom and understanding to have discernment to be able to tell this. That's what God is releasing today. In other words, if we'll judge ourselves, am I in a path? And is this decision I'm making a path of conviction or a path of convenience? Hebrew 4, verse 1. Would you read it with me? Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being what? Mixed with faith. And those who heard it was not mixed. In other words, look at the word was not mixed with faith. In other words, it wasn't mixed. There wasn't an active acceptance to see it work in their life. It was just another, okay. They didn't grab it and say, yes, I'm taking this word and going to activate it in my life. In other words, we talked about believe, receive, and execute. So we can sit in this room and go, oh, okay, cool. I like that. Yeah, good work. And never actually activate it. And the reason why people don't is because they allow emotions to overtake truth. And are not looking for the path of conviction. They're living in a path of convenience. Listen, you can live in the path of convenience and speak in tongues and cast out devils and everything else. But there's a path of conviction that is close to the Lord. It is so close to Him. Is everybody okay? Verse 3. For we who believed do enter that rest, as He has said, so I swore in my wrath they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Let me share something with you that in that area, this rest means it's an area where you know that you're pleasing God. Unrest knows you're not pleasing God. Amen. It's a place where you know that you're pleasing Him. Isn't that the most important thing? You know, one of the things that people get all frustrated. Well, do you know what? This person said this about me. This person said, who cares?
Amen. Amen.
Who cares? What does God say about you? Now, make sure it's God saying something about you and not a familiar spirit. Oh, you're good. Oh, really? Oh, you're a good boy or girl. So in this, they were not mixing the Word of God with faith. In other words, they were not taking it and actively accepting it to see it work in their life. So it profited them no good. In other words, it did not take root. It did not take root. The enemy always tries to come to get before it can take root. So you must allow the Word of the Lord to take root here before you leave. If you don't, it will be taken. You'll just put it on the shelf and hope that it comes back. Well, I hope I can do that. Or unless you have doubt, you'll be unstable and everything else. In Matthew 13. Listen, when things are not able to, when a person is not able to endure, that person becomes anxious. Amen? When things, when the Word of God is not taking root, that same circumstance that comes up again becomes anxious. Why? Because fear is taking its place. And we don't want fear to take the place of rest. We don't want fear to take the place of peace. We don't want fear to take the place of trust. In Matthew 13 and verse 18, pathway of conviction. That's the name of today's teaching. Verse 18. So where do you want the Word to take root? Right now. Amen? Right now. Take it. See it. Let it become activated in your life right now. Don't wait till you leave. Amen. Let it become, see it. Why? Faith is sight. What you hear, you see. Let it become a part of you. See it now. Amen. Don't see your failures. Don't see what you should have done and how you should have done it. Take what He's given to you now and see it being activated in your life. So it can what? Take root. Therefore, verse 18, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives seed on the stony place, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Oh, great, I got it. But you know what? He doesn't see it. He receives it but doesn't see it. Yet he is not, he has no root in himself, but only endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world. The cares, the emotional desires of this world. And the deceitfulness of the riches of the what? Riches. Choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. And who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. In other words, it needs to be rooted, it needs to be protected. It needs to be watered, it needs to be activated, it needs to be put in. You must see yourself putting this into practice. Amen? So you accept it, you see it, you work it. You believe it, you receive it, you execute it. Amen? This is called the life of conviction. Because you'll be convicted if you're not. Does everybody get it? You're convicted if you're not using it. You're convicted. You should be convicted right now if you're not putting it to root. Amen. Oh, I'm going to let that get in there. That means we need to make a change from the life of convenience, the path of convenience, to the path of conviction. And you're going to find that the Holy Spirit is going to begin to start telling you even more. Look, that's a path of convenience. Get on the path of conviction. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Woo-hoo! Verse 3. Let's speak it. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches others and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is what?
Proud.
Knowing what?
Nothing.
But is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Why associations bring impartations. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be what? Rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts. In other words, emotional decisions. Let me share with you. Individuals that are desiring, money is becoming first. When money becomes first, you open the door. When money becomes first, you open the door. Everybody got that? Oh, but it's good. I got bills to pay and this, and I want a house and I want that. When money comes first, you open the door. What you're saying then is, you can't provide for me. I'm going to have to do it. Now you've gone to the path of convenience and not the path of conviction. Remember, God never interrupts himself. Amen? Never. Is everybody okay? Look at, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in what? Destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Let me tell you, the love of money will replace, it will root up other things that God has given you that have been rooted. Now they become uprooted. Now you find yourself more time in making money than you do other things. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith. In other words, they no longer can see what they used to see. And their greediness and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Woe is me. Why? Now they're emotionally and carnally looking at me. But you, O man and woman of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness and godliness and faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without what? Spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potent, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, I want to reemphasize, the love of money is the root of all evil intentions. All evil what? Intentions. It's great deception. It moves people out of position. It moves them in the path of convenience and out of the path of conviction. What we're then saying to God is, you can't provide for me. You can't provide for me. Does everybody understand that? Again, there's nothing. He's called everyone in the arena. We're to work, aren't we? Amen. No worky, no eaty. But then there's a place where there's a boundary of that. Well, you must stand up for what pleases him and not displeases him. When that conviction comes, I need the money. No, you need his presence. See, we need to exchange the love of money and the need of money for the need of the presence of God. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
Glory. It causes people to step out of the boundaries that God has placed. There's internal boundaries and external boundaries. You must ask yourself, am I pleasing God? And everything, am I pleasing him? Lord, is this decision pleasing you? Am I pleasing you? Or am I still pleasing me? Is this a path of conviction or a path of convenience? 2 Timothy 3. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 1. Let's speak it together. For know this, that what? In the last days, perilous times. Are we in the last days? Well, man, it's happening, isn't it? Come on, we're seeing many people stray for themselves. For men will be lovers of what? Themselves. And what's the second one? Money. Money. I'll move many people out of place. They'll be boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors. Everyone say traitors. Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying its power. And denying its power. Look at we are in the last days. It's becoming more and more prevalent because of men where evil influences overtaking individuals. You know, one of the things that people are not recognizing, because when you get caught up in yourself, you can't recognize the evil influence. Well, who told me that? Well, where did that desire come from? Well, is that, am I pleasing God? Is that the voice of the Lord or the voice of desire? Is that the voice of memory or is that the voice of the Lord? Is everybody okay? Men will become more and more evilly influenced, more deceptive. Many will stray, not able to run the full course of training to fulfill destiny. This is called right now there are multiple coverings of the demonic arenas that people are falling under. One of them is called the spirit of Judas. It is called the spirit of Judas. Judas was close to Jesus, wasn't he? Amen. But he became a what? A betrayer. For what? Money. For money. He started off in the path of conviction and went to the path of convenience. In Matthew 26. The spirit of Judas is known as the spirit of also as Antichrist, betrayal. Matthew 26 and verse 6. Is everybody there? Everybody okay?
Amen.
Pathway of conviction or pathway of convenience? In verse 6, and when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him saying, having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But Jesus was aware of it, and he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me, you do not have always. For in pouring of this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Surely I say to you, whether this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to what? Betray him. He sought opportunity to betray him. He was right in the fold, wasn't he? And he sought opportunity to betray him because the spirit of Judas. What was his problem? He wanted things done his way, not God's way.
Amen.
And so money misled him. He said, okay, since I can't get it done my way, let me, what you guys got to offer? What do you have to offer? And he sold out. He actually sold his birthright for money. He betrayed. He left a flock from under the anointing of Christ. Why? Because what he was accepting was not mixed with faith. I mean, come on. He was right with Jesus the whole time. He saw miracle signs and wonders. He saw provisions being supplied. There was nothing that they lacked. Nothing. But he still could not trust God, because his own will and his own way was constantly influencing him. He was allowing the presence of evil, the voice of the stranger, to constantly influence him. You'd think he would have got some conviction being so close to the Lord. Two spirits, pride and betrayal. Pride. Even pride was in the presence of God in the throne room of God, where God had to remove it from his throne room. That same spirit that was in the throne room where God was in the presence of God, called Judas, was associated with pride, wanting to do his will, and then he betrayed. Pride always leads to betrayal. Always. Is everybody okay? 1 John chapter 2. Are we not seeing the spirit of Judas right now in this whole country? There's much betrayal. I'm not talking about just the body of Christ. We have a whole government that's betraying its own country. First John chapter 2 and verse 18. Let's speak it. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know these things. You know all these things. Does everybody see that? The spirit of Judas is the spirit of Antichrist. It counterfeits the anointing by mixing it with double-mindedness. It mixing. Let me tell you the mixing. There is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there's the tree of righteousness. Those are two anointings. One is of the devil. How many of y'all know the devil's got an anointing? Amen, he does. It's what's called power. It's not the... Listen, when it rains on the good and the evil, doesn't it? Amen. So in this, what happens is there's a mixed anointing which begins to establish. What the enemy tries to do is begin to mix, because he's a counterfeiter. He tries to mix his anointing with the anointing of the Lord. Not that he can mix it with the Lord, but he can mix it with a person. Amen? Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against the anointing of God. But he can mix it with a person by its choices. Or that there's no longer a pure pathway of conviction. There's a mixed pathway of convenience. Is everybody okay? And that's what's happening right now in these last days. Many people are being carried away. Matthew 3. But there's another anointing through Christ Jesus. And there's, you know, the battles against the anointings. Evil and righteous. Not evil and good. Evil and righteous. Because there's anointing between the battle of good and righteous. Has everybody got it? That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of righteousness. There's a war between them. In verse 1, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent. What was he bringing? What path? Path of conviction. Why? So that they would turn. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who has spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself, with clothes and camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw the many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers. In other words, he's talking about serpent seed. Who warned you to flee from the wrath of to come? Well, they had a form of godliness, didn't they? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is also is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Again, we are the ones that are crying out for righteousness and declare truth of Christ's kingdom, warning individuals of his coming. Why? Because if you're walking on the path of conviction, then you want to also bring that out, or you're warning people. You're warning people, man, look at what you're touching is unclean. What you're associating, what you're approving. People have no idea that what you approve of, you bring a curse on you. A demon can't access you without a curse. That gives a legal right. God can't do anything for you when that curse comes. You must do it. What you must do? Repent. Why doesn't the Lord remove it? Because you're too. It's our responsibility. Amen? To remove it. So a curse will come. A demon will come. And let me tell you, he's not going to manifest right then and there. He just waits. He tries to put you on the path of convenience. Then he can invite others. Oh, glory. Remember, John the Baptist came preaching the path of conviction. Aren't you and I supposed to be preaching that same path? But you can't preach it unless you're walking on it. Although some people do try to preach it, and they're not walking it in themselves. And they bring a curse on themselves. What a man sows, he what? Reaps. Nobody outruns it. It will always manifest. Luke chapter 1. Glory. Man, I could go on for days with this thing. Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. But an angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy, and the gladness of many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall not drink." In other words, he ain't going to do dope. He's not going to drink. He's not going to touch anything unclean. Amen? Neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Why? Because he knew that if he would touch something unclean, it would quench the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And he will turn what? Many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Why? Because he's walking the path of what? Conviction. And he's preaching the path of conviction. He'll also go before him in the spirit and the power of who? Elijah. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and to the and the disobedient to the what? Wisdom of the just. Didn't the Lord just say, look at man, person's unstable. Why? Because they lack what? Wisdom. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what you and I are to be doing. But first you must be the example. Amen? You've got to be living the path of conviction, not convenience. And you can't be preaching the path of conviction when you're walking the path of convenience, because you'll bring a curse on you. Amen? We are to be the ones. We are under the anointing, that same anointing that Elijah carried. You and I are under. But there's that other anointing. That's the spirit of betrayal, the Judas, Antichrist spirit. Amen? And that's where people are falling under. They've gone to the path of convenience and not the path of conviction. In 1 Peter chapter 2, again, we are seeing betrayal all over. He showed us. He said, man, if they were under the path of conviction, they would have stayed with us. But they weren't. They're on a path of convenience. They're under that anointing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It says, coming to him as a what? Living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God. And what? Precious. Everyone say, I'm chosen by God, and I'm precious. Now, does God still love you even when we're idiots? Even if we're on the path of convenience, does he still love you? No, and his love for me and you has not changed, but his trust has. Amen. Verse 5. You also what? As living stones are being built up. Say, being built up. A spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble being what? Disobedient to the word. to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen, a generational of chosen, royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people of God, but now a people of God. Everyone say, I'm a people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Malachi chapter 2. See, we are called to be priests, aren't we? That is the first office that we are to fulfill. That's one who ministers to the Lord. That means you're close to the Lord. If you're really fulfilling your priesthood, amen, that means if you're close to him and you're fulfilling your priesthood, well, then you're walking the path of conviction. If you're not walking the path of conviction, you're not fulfilling your priesthood. Then you're just worshiping with words and not with heart. Malachi chapter 2. Everyone say, I'm called to be a priest.
I'm called to be a priest.
Come on. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 1. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. And now what, O priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to what? Heart. To give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a what? Curse upon you. And I will curse your what? Your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you have not taken it to heart. Behold, I rebuke your descendants. I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuge on your faces, the refuge of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him, that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep what? Knowledge. And a people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. He is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. Path of conviction. In other words, they started from the path of conviction and went to the path of convenience. These were priests that walked away. The word covenant is also a representation of boundaries. Covenant brings boundaries. When you have a covenant with the Lord, there are boundaries of the Lord. These are promises. But in these promises, he says, maintain my boundaries and my promises will be released. So covenant is always associated with boundaries. He says, if you do this, I'll do that. That's my covenant. So there's always boundaries in covenant. Does everybody understand that? Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. Even in Hosea 4:6, it said, the Lord said, look, because you've rejected from listening to me, you rejected my laws, you rejected my commands, I'll reject you from being a priest. And then he said, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will reject your children. In other words, that curse comes down the family line. So what we're doing is either bringing a curse on our family line or cutting it off. Hallelujah. In verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly or rebellious, nor stands in the path of the sinners or liars, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, coarse jesters in that arena, hateful, unforgivers, slanderers. But his delight is where? In the law of the Lord, the truth. And in his truth, in his law, he meditates day and night. And he will be like a what? A tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does will what? Prosper. Why? Because it's not him who's going to do it. It's the Lord that's going to release it. Has everybody got it? That is called the path of conviction. Why? Because the path of conviction maintains covenant. Covenant, again, is sets in boundaries. If you do this, I'll do that. Remember, what we want to do is stay close to the Lord. Why? Because it's not about sin. It's not about being wrong or right. It's about whether you please Him or not. That's relationship. Am I pleasing you? It says His paths are righteous and just in every area. We're to be teaching, learning, practicing, and becoming. Amen? So that we can endure. In Psalm 25, we are in a time of, I want to say, perverse. It's disgusting time. More and more evil, more and more wicked. Everything is, people are approving of ungodliness. People are approving of perverseness. There's so much approval of the things that are not pleasing to God. People are only looking at what is under the law of the land. How many of y'all know that there's a law of the land, but we're under a higher law than the land? Hallelujah. In chapter 25, verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He teaches sinners in the way. The humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way. The paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as to what? Keep His covenant or what? Boundaries. Amen. And His testimonies. For Your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is a man that fears the Lord? Him shall He teach in the ways He chooses. He Himself shall dwell in prosperity. His descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He shall show them His covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Out of the, look what He says. He said, turn yourselves to Me and have mercy on Me. Turn yourself to Me, O Lord, and have mercy on me. For I am also desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive me of all my sins. What was He walking on? What path? Path of conviction. Consider my enemies, for they are many. They hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I have put my trust in You. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on You. I endure for You. I'm going to close at Psalm 15. Glory. Path of conviction. You don't see too much conviction on TV these days, do you? So if you approve of the path of convenience, will that bring a curse on you? Yes. Psalm 15, let's speak it together, please. Lord, who may abide in Your tabernacle and who may dwell in Your holy hill? He who walks uprightly, who works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. We shall never be moved. In other words, man, when you're in that place, you're earning God's trust, aren't you? And He'll bring you to another test. Why? Because He's always trying to bring us more. Amen? Path of conviction or the path of convenience. Our choice. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. Again, Lord, we repent for any area that we have approved of the path of convenience or associated with or even walked in ourselves or made the choice of convenience instead of conviction. And we want to be close to You, Lord. So prepare our hearts as we prepare for communion and let the seed that's been imparted not be stolen but protected by the blood of Jesus so grows and bears fruit for Your glory. And as we prepare our hearts for the communion, Lord, we ask that You bring us close to You so that we may sense an area of pleasing You, not because of sin, not because of anything else, but that we want to please You in Jesus' name.